Our passage today is found in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. If you would turn with me there. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. It says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The gold letters printed above the baptistry, to be found faithful as God's people. I sat where you are for 18 years and read those words. Passage that we just read hopefully summarizes a little bit of my experience while I was growing up at Dawson. Our efforts as a church to be found faithful as God's people and my ministry philosophy once I left this place and went on to minister in other congregations. I think it will also provide for us a suitable challenge for the days ahead. Three big relationships: our relationship with God, with each other, and with the world. We start with our relationship with God. We see it in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. My dad is Bob Hatfield. That's funny, that makes people laugh. He's been the minister of music at Dawson for 33 and a half years. I'm 34. If you don't know my dad personally, and you only know him in this corporate sense, then you know that he wears a suit a lot, and he's got shiny shoes, and he combs his hair real nice. You know that the worship services that he puts together are both beautiful and artistic, meaningful and significant, that they enable us as a congregation to not only worship God, but to also experience his presence among us. He's gifted. There's people that don't just know him in this big corporate setting, but in a smaller corporate setting, and who have for a long time, perhaps in this setting or in others, been in his choir. There are many of us, after all, who have sung in the chapel choir or some other choir that my dad has been a part of and led, and we've experienced his gifts in a different way, his leadership and his teaching especially. He picks songs. Lots of them have scripture in them, if you haven't noticed that. That's intentional, by the way. And in choir practice, you sing a song maybe once, maybe twice, and then after you sing the song, he takes the words that are in the song and he unpacks them. He teaches what the song means. And then you sing it again. And what he does is he takes the message of the song and he seals it in your heart with music. It's a gift. I still know songs from when I was in chapel choir, long time ago. Some of us know Dad on a different level, personal level, relationship level. You know him as friend, mentor, colleague. He has been able to walk through the dark waters, for many of you, with you. held your hand as you've had someone in your family who has passed away, helped you through a catastrophic event in your family. Some of us, he's been on the other side. He's celebrated with us. He's stood on this very stage platform and married many of us, or been in the hospital when our children were born. He loves people well. If you have that kind of relationship with him, then you know that his relationships are built on trust and dependability and respect, on his continual smile and his sense of humor. I mean, you don't get the name Dr. Jolly Bob for nothing. Then there's me. So I know him in this corporate level, because I've sat where you sat and have worshiped for many years under his leadership and been blessed by it. I sat in this seat many times too. I almost thought I was going to stand up when you guys were asked to stand and sing. And know his gifts and abilities in that setting. Have the interpersonal relationship. Know him as mentor and guide and friend, and been through the dark times and the celebratory times with him. But then I also just know him as dad, or more affectionately, pops. Or Rev, if you're a grandkid. I remember growing up and walking down the stairs at 1845 South Lakeshore. It's not where they live anymore. And walking down the stairs, whether I was in childhood or in middle school or in high school or even college, when I would visit. And I would walk down the stairs, and it would be early in the morning, and I would turn around the corner, and there would be my dad sitting in a red chair with a cup of coffee, not looking like he does right now. No, he's all messed up then. Hair's all over the place. He's got lines all on his face from where he's had the Darth Vader mask on. That's what the kids call it. You know, the sleeping thing helps him not snore. Praise the Lord. Yeah. He's got his ratty old blue robe on. He says that it keeps him warm, but that's not true. It can't possibly keep him warm because it's so ratty. It's just a comfort blanket, really. And he's got that on, kind of tied around a little bit, and he's got these kind of half moccasins, half slippers that are in there, and they're all woolly on the inside, and he says they're cozy. That's not true either. I tried them on lots of times. And then he has two books that are sitting in front of him, usually. One book is some book that he's reading. If you know anything about Dad, he's always learning, always growing, always trying to figure out how to do something better. And the other book is his Bible. I'm not sure how many mornings I would come down and see him just praying. Just reading the Word. Trying to figure out how to apply it to his life, how to be a better man, how to be who God wants him to be. The secret to my dad isn't what happens on Sunday morning. It's what happens on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday when nobody's looking. The secret to Dawson, the pillars of Dawson's strength, are that all over this city and the Overmountain community, on any given morning, all of us are in our versions of the tattered blue robes and half moccasin, half slippers, meeting with the Lord, devoting ourselves to who God desires us to be, devoting ourselves to figuring out what that means in our lives. Because the reality is, who you are and where you are and what your job is and what your gifts and abilities are different than my dad. They just are. And his are different than anybody else's. So that means that we have to interact with God and His Spirit in us as we read the Word, and He reveals who we are and who we need to be, and then how we can go to our workplace and our community and our neighborhoods and our friends and be His people. And the strength of Dawson is after those moments when we go out with the strength of the Lord in us and do just that. Relationship with God. Our second relationship is our relationship with each other. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. I literally grew up at Dawson. Not figuratively. They called me a rec rat. That's how much I was there. I think that I've had a class, a formal class, in every single classroom of this building. All the buildings. Except for the new one, not that one. It started for me when I was in preschool. Now, if you're a preschool worker, I'd like to tell you that I remember some incredible skit or story or craft that I made, but I don't. But what I do remember, and maybe it's better told from Brett, he's my three-year-old. He turned three today. Three, that's what he says. Brett goes to Sunday school every week. I'm sure that's a shock to you. And he walks into Sunday school, and his teacher is Miss Thelma. And he loves Miss Thelma. And every single week, he runs into Sunday school, and he gives Miss Thelma a hug. And then they sing songs. They do crafts. They have potty breaks. They eat snacks. He loves coming to church because of Miss Thelma. I loved coming to church when I was little. Loved it. That's because of all the preschool workers in the room. If you think that your ministry isn't important and significant, it is. And then I went on to children's ministry. I'm not really sure what different programs you guys are using now. So I'm just going to have to bank on what I did back then, okay? So it would start out Sunday morning. Sunday morning, I went to Sunday school. And back in those days, every Sunday morning when I walked in, I had a Bible verse that I had to say when I walked in. Had to. I mean, like, you walk in, and you're like, what's your Bible verse? And you got to tell them. And so you say your Bible verse, and then they give you a star. And then at the end of the year, you have, like, a big chart that has 52 stars that are filled out on it. Times how many years of my life? Thanks for that. Teaching God's word, revealing who he is, investing in me. And then we went to Sunday night, and we still had services every Sunday night then, and we had discipleship training, and we had Bible drill. Learned all my books of the Bible. Still know them. Learned lots of passages. Learned how they were important, had Bible drill, actually had the sword, the Bible drill, and took it out and did stuff with it. It's great. Thanks for that. Then on Wednesday night, we'd come back, and I had RAs. And RAs was where we learned about all the missionaries in the world and what they were doing, and how we could help them, and how we could pray for them. Did you know that every single night in my family, with my boys, we pray for our missionary friends by name. Thanks for that. Then I'd go on to children's choir and children's ensemble and children's, I don't know, there's 18,000 different ones that I would go to and learn God's word and plant it in my heart, and I still know those songs today too. It's awesome. The formal teaching times of Dawson. If you think they're just here to fill in the time, if you think they're just here to check off a little box and say that you're here, You're wrong. You're planting God's word in our hearts. You're showing how much relationship matters, that we love you, that we're here for you, that we intentionally have planned for you to be here, and we got something to do, and it's going to be great. You're important. There were the formal times, but then there were the informal times. Because when you have family that's here, then you just kind of do life together all the other places too. You kind of hang out at Wendy's, and then you hang out at Subway, and then you hang out at your friend's house, and there's always food involved because you got to eat, right? And sometimes my friends would do the parents the nice thing and tell them that I was coming, and sometimes they wouldn't. I'd just show up. Love all you parents. You're awesome. And I would show up, and it'd be time to eat. Now I'm going to eat because I'm a boy. Boys eat. And so they'd say, yeah, there's room at the table for you. Come on, let's eat. They would ask me about life. They would see what I was doing and how I was doing. Invest in me. Love me. Care about me. Do what this thing called the family of faith is supposed to do. We are the family of God, after all. Aren't we? Formal times, informal times. Relationship with each other. And then there's our relationship with the world. Verse 47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Dawson has always been about sharing the gospel with a lost world. Just to put it bluntly, telling somebody that they need to have a relationship with Jesus. And being bold enough to say that we need to be forgiven of our sins. To say without apology that we need to believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And that after we believe in that, we need to make him the master of our lives. Because that's what salvation is, and that's what a relationship with God is. We've always been about that in our friendships, in our family, in our community, in our workplaces. We've always been figuring out, as individuals, how to be lights in a dark world and how to push it back. That's all of us. But then, I still get the together, you know? And when I get that together, I read about how Dawson is going on mission. Every week is another mission for Dawson. Every day is another place. Lots of times, there's lots of different places at once. Dawson is intentionally pushing back the darkness in Birmingham, in Alabama, United States, and around the world. Intentionally sharing the gospel. Giving for our missionaries that are around the world. Praying for them. We do those things too. But let me tell you about a different way. Maybe a way that if you're here all the time that you don't think about so much. It's our Dawson heritage, our legacy. Maybe the best way to talk about it is from my son Alex's perspective. He's 6 and he has 2 days left in kindergarten. When he was about to start kindergarten, the day before he was about to start kindergarten, I said, Alex, I need to talk to you. Usually that means he's in trouble. You know, so, okay. No, Alex, you're not in trouble. I just come in your room, son. I need to have a man-to-man conversation with you. I don't know where you have your man-to-man conversations, but we do it in Alex's bedroom on his bed. Yeah. And so he sits down and I say, Alex, what's your name? Alex? No, son. What's your whole name? Alexander Benjamin Hatfield. Son, what's my name? Robert Benjamin Hatfield Jr.? Good. What's Rev's name? It's just like mine. Robert Benjamin Hatfield. Good, you got it. What's Papa's name? That's my dad's dad. Ambrose. Ambrose Benjamin Hatfield. That's right. Son, is there anything that's the same in those names? Benjamin and Hatfield. That's right. Son, did you know that even above Pawpaw, there are other men that came even before that that had those same names? And even before that, without the Benjamin and the Hatfield, it goes on and on and on. Son, did you know that your daddy and your Rev and your Pawpaw have lived their whole lives trying to protect this thing called our name? And we haven't just protected it by not doing the things that we're not supposed to do. We've also used it to do good things in the world. Son, tomorrow is a big day for you. Tomorrow, son, you are going to kindergarten. Mommy and daddy are not going to be there all day long. You're on your own. Son, it's your job to take our name and protect it. Don't do anything that would embarrass us. I don't just want you to protect it, though, son. I want you to use it to do great things because I believe in you. You're creative and smart. You're articulate. You can do great things in the world. I know you can. I love you. I believe in you. You can do it. When you grow up in Dawson, or even when you move to Dawson as an adult, you have experiences here that shape you and form you and make you and knit you into who you are. It's like this is me, and then Dawson comes and just imprints itself on me. It's not going away. Wherever I go, whatever I do, the Dawson name, the Dawson heritage stays with me. Whatever successes I have of pushing back the darkness, of sharing my faith, and of people coming to Christ, and I'm just one little guy. There are many more like me who have the Dawson name embedded in who they are. And they're all over the city, and they're all over this state, and they're all over this nation, and they're all over the world. Did you know I have Dawson friends all over the world? Literally. And the name is there. And our heritage moves on. Our legacy goes on. Because after all, we're not about building the kingdom of Dawson to be bigger. We're about building the kingdom of God to be bigger. And the Dawson name and the Dawson heritage is doing just that. Relationship with God, relationship with each other, relationship with the world. We come to the part of invitation where we have to talk about how this stuff applies to you. We start with our relationship with God, and I realize that in a congregation this size, anytime we talk about a relationship with God, the truth of the matter is there's some of us in the room that don't have that. I wish that you could see the way my relationship with God has transformed who I am. I wish you could see the joy and the hope and the love that's inside of me because of it. If you don't have that, if you're interested in that, if you want to talk about that, in a minute, we're going to have an invitation. You come forward. Chris will be here. You talk to him about it. Just say you got questions. There's others of us in the room that when you talk about a devotion to our relationship with God, and we're already Christians, but you talk about our devotion, that's the word used there, and we say, I don't know about that. I don't know how much I've been devoted. It's time to recommit. It's time to come back again and say, this relationship that I have with God is all-consuming. It's all that I have. It's all that I want. And I will give everything that I have for it. relationship with God, relationship with each other. There's some of you in the room that have been serving Dawson in formal capacities for years and years. High five to you. Keep going. You're doing great. There's some of you who has gifts and abilities that need to be used, and you're sitting on the sidelines. Let me tell you a secret. God didn't save you so you could sit on the sidelines. He saved you so you can play. For some of you, it's time to start playing. I don't know where that's going to be in this church. I don't know if that's in children or in preschool or in students. Man, you don't think I don't think those student relationships are important? I'm a student minister. Maybe it's in students. Maybe it's in rec ministry. I had some great, amazing relationships with my coaches who were with me in church league basketball. We lost one of them this past week. Coach Little. It's a great one for me. Maybe it's there. I don't know. But you need to find out. There's some of you in the room that are not yet members of a church. You don't have a church home. You don't know what's home yet. If you think that you can kind of put Christianity in a box, you're wanting to, and kind of put it in a box and leave it there on Sunday, get it out on Sunday and put it on, and then after you put it on, you take it off and you put it back there, and then you live your life however you want, a compartmentalized Christianity. This place is not for you. If you're planning on joining a church and it's just kind of sitting back a little bit, letting everybody else do everything, and then you can kind of come and enjoy worship that's well put together and then go home and do nothing about it, this place is not for you. No. But if you're looking for a place where you can invest your life, where you can find friends that are yours, not just in formal settings, but are yours in informal settings because you're vulnerable enough with each other to live like you mean it and to reveal who you really are. If you're looking for a place where you can invest your time and energy and talents and realize that they're going for a greater purpose in the world, a greater purpose in this community, if you're looking for a way to push back the darkness, there's room at the table for you. Come on in. There's room at the table. Last relationship is our relationship with the world. We're commanded and called to share the gospel with the lost world. There's some of us who know the lost people that we're supposed to share the gospel with, but we're just not doing it. It's time to do it. There's some of us that can't name a lost person. It's time for you to make some new relationships. Because the light that's in you needs to be spread. Our time of invitation might be a time when you just need to say, God, you can use me and I'll do it. I've been saying no for a while. Yes. Yes. You show it to me and I'll do it. My dad's coming. The invitation is going to be open to all who will respond. Chris is going to meet you up at front. We're going to sing a song together. The invitation is open to all who respond.